Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Manu Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. I do have a treat for you this morning on CJSF Radio 90.1, the Salua Show, where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act about what you've heard. And today I have a phenomenal guest for you. She is Cynthia Sharp, a writer, a nature lover, and a person who loves presenting other poets and other people's work. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thanks so much, Charlotte, for having me on your show. Good morning, everyone. So I'm Cynthia Sharp. I'm a nature poet. My books are Rainforest and Russet, and my most recent one, Ordinary Light. I'll be reading from it at the West End Seniors Network, July 26th. That's Friday, July 26th at 1:30 p.m. I'm going to be reading for 10 minutes along with author Jarena Tobiasen for 10 minutes. And then the most important part of this event is we want seniors from all over the greater Vancouver area to come down and share your poetry, your writing in any genre. And if you're not a writer, but you love books, bring something you love and come share. So
people are welcome to come. They don't have to pay $100 to get to read a poem. No. Tell us a bit more about how this program is working and where.
So the West End Seniors Network operates out of Barclay Manor, which is a beautiful restored house bought by the city. And the West End Seniors Network has had me in there a few times to do different events. They basically want to bring seniors together, just celebrate life, celebrate a beautiful space, take some time out in the garden. They have a beautiful garden at Barclay Manor. And basically we're just getting together in the afternoon to share poetry, to share events. So the West End Seniors Network has a newsletter and all kinds of events aimed at seniors. And we're using the term seniors loosely, 55 and over, in your 50s. Everyone's welcome. Everyone of any age is welcome to come and listen to the readings. And then the open mic is reserved especially for people in their 50s and up.
Wow. I think I qualify.
Awesome. If you're not sure if you qualify, come on down. And if you qualify, please come on down. We've had these gatherings a few times. The West End Seniors Network has hosted different events for people to get together. And it's a chance to meet your neighbors, to talk about things that matter to you, and to share a piece of literature, whether it's a comic book, a poem, anything that moves you, that you wrote or that you found in the library and like, or it's one of your favorite collections. Just come down and meet your neighbors, meet people from the greater Vancouver area.
You're saying that they can't see, but you're saying that with such a big smile. It makes me think it's a line to, you know, I asked artists and writers about their 3 P's and 2 C's. How is this related to your purpose?
So the purpose of the West End Seniors Network gatherings is community. And my purpose as a writer is community. Community and nature are probably my two biggest joys, more than concerns. So my purpose in the big picture of all the writing I do and all the events I do is connecting people. Connecting people, getting out to meet people, and talking about what matters to us, which in my case is nature and protecting this beautiful planet we get to live on.
And I know when I first came to Vancouver and I was looking for flyers to see what was happening, there was an event where you were going to be in a garden. People were going to come to the garden and they were going to write. I think that we were planting. What is your feeling about the research that says that 90 minutes in out in nature can help people as much as taking some medication? But we're not to say don't take your medication, but what's your feeling of what did you find when you were doing combining poetry with people being out in a garden or planting or some of the other ways that you have done poetry outside?
I think peace and rejuvenation. And like you said, the best medicine ever. Like, yeah, for sure, take all our medications, but go out in nature so that we don't need to take anymore. Go out in nature so that everything becomes healthier. And I've done a lot of events outside. Even when we were chatting before, I mentioned we even had Pandora's Collective had an event outside in October, and it was amazing. Even with a little bit of rain, we had tents overhead, but even with a little bit of rain, the leaves were rustling, and it's a healing to be in nature. We're from nature, we're part nature. And when we go back outside and turn off our phone if we can, we get to connect with our natural rhythms and we get to connect with ourselves. And I think that a huge part of writing workshops and getting together, especially outside and especially around beautiful gardens, is to slow down and be present to where we are. We have a few minutes to turn off our phone if we can, or only take emergency calls and connect with our inner selves. And I think that's really important.
You seem to be pretty passionate about that. One of the things I've noticed that you have always promoted other poets and writers. What is some of the and you always seem to be blessed with more and more invitations. You've got several places. What are some of the other places that you are appearing? But what are some ways that your passion for bringing up other or connecting people with other poets? What are some ways that that plays out in your life?
You know, like you said, Charlotte, I think that helping each other is the greatest way to help ourselves. And I don't think we sit down and say, oh, I'm going to do you a favor, so you're going to do me a favor. I think it's more, I'm really passionate about your work, Charlotte, and I'm really passionate about a lot of other Vancouver writers' work. And the more I get passionate about other people's work, the more I get opportunities to help them. And in return, people get to know us and we get invited to more things. So I love supporting other writers. I think that a huge part of being in the writing community is to support each other. As writers and artists, we're there to help each other, to be in community together, to celebrate each other, and to celebrate each other's work. And a great side bonus of that is that you get invited to all kinds of other things. So I might mention a few of them. I'm going to be reading on the Sunshine Coast as part of Art and Words, which is coming up at the end of August. That is a fantastic festival, and the organizers work so hard. It's just a beautiful place. If you're free around August 22nd to 25th, I would check that out on the Sunshine Coast, and I'll be one of the featured readers there. I'll be reading on Friday at 1 p.m., and
Okay,
it's
maybe.
free.
Susie just got her pen. Could you mention again what that is and where?
So the Sunshine Coast Writers and Editors Society is a new organization. It was founded by Kathleen Cindy Labonte Smith, and they put on a festival called Art and Words. I'll be one of the League of Poets readers. So my reading will be sponsored by the League of Canadian Poets, which means it's free for people to attend. It's in the Gibson's Market, which is air conditioned and beautiful. And you get to go and meet all these other artists on the Sunshine Coast. So I hope people can come and attend that.
It
Yeah,
sounds
that's
like me.
one of my events. And there's an example of artists helping each other, right? We promote each other's events. You don't really keep track of who's helped who, but pay attention to people who are up and coming and help them out. And then other people who are really solid have, like, Kathleen Labonte Smith is a really recognized writer with Rescue Me. She got this festival together, and all different writers in BC are getting to go.
We'll be right back with the rest of Charlotte's conversation with Cynthia Sharp here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. Stick around.
Join me, Robin, every Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and makers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
My God is a rockin' in the weary land, weary land, in the weary land. My God is a rockin' in the weary land, sugar in the time of storm. I know he's a rockin' in the weary land.
Speak up, listen up, act upon. We now return to Sister C's conversation with Cynthia Sharp.
I think you've mentioned a couple of writers' associations and organizations. How important do you think it is for a writer to get involved in a writing society or writers group?
I think it's 100% important because I met you through the Federation of BC Writers. And it was one of the best moments of my life, but I'm not making this up. I remember the moment, you know, we were scheduled to volunteer at the Fed at Word Vancouver together. And just the moment seeing you coming through the door, seeing you come up to the table was incredible. And now we've done so many collaborations together. And it's because we both joined the Federation of BC Writers, which is an organization I definitely recommend. I used to be the Greater Vancouver rep and stepped down to get my books done. And it's in excellent hands. And I absolutely recommend that people join any group, whether it's the Federation of BC Writers, which is provincial and a big umbrella organization, or a local groups like Surrey Muse, Burnaby Writers Society. There are so many groups. And it takes a while to find the first one, but I think it's really important to find your people, find your tribe.
And I think when you, that word, take the time, we're bombarded by so much stuff on our phones. Every half an hour, somebody's offering a contest or a competition or get our free lead in to, you know, oh yes, write a book in 30 days, our special program. It's only going to cost you $3,000, but you will get your book written. But you mentioned the Surrey group and some other groups. What is one of the differences? There is a fee. You know, all have dues, but the dues are very reasonable. And to read the things, that was what I was getting to. There's all this stuff that comes in on our phones and our screens. But if you have joined something, how important do you think it is to look all the way through and look at those different membership benefits?
Yeah, I think go for it. And I think trust your gut, right? I mean, if you have $3,000, that's great. But if you don't, Surrey Muse is free to join. That's a group I love being part of. And they put on free workshops that are wonderful. They also welcome donations, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think it's nice to check out what's good for you. I don't think you need to watch. I don't think we need to be addicted to our phones, trying not to miss a single opportunity. I think it's good to look at what libraries, Canadian libraries have a ton of free events because the organizers are paid with grant money generally. So the person giving the workshop is getting paid and the people taking it get to come for free. Oh, I will be doing one as well. The woman I'm working with, Jarena Tobiasen, and I will be doing a workshop on September 24th for the Burnaby Writers Society at the Burnaby Library. And that's free to attend and it's on sensory writing. So I think one of the advantages, though, getting back to what you said about nature, part of the advantage of going to these drop-in workshops, if you can, is that we turn our phones off for a moment and we sit either in person or on Zoom, but it's wonderful, especially in person, with a few other writers. And we give our writing and the people around us and our natural rhythms an hour to two of our time. And I think when we take these workshops through organizations like Surrey Muse and Burnaby Writers Society and all the other ones, I'm on the boards for those, so they come to mind. We're giving ourselves our time again, and we're honoring the muse inside ourselves to come out and play and to write and to connect with other writers. So I think it's important to have a few spaces in your life to write, whether it's on your own or whether it's seeking out community. But it's not essential to be addicted to Facebook, try not to miss a single event. And I love, especially when we take our events into nature where we can really breathe.
Well, nature, you know, within nature, things are always growing. You have something new that's growing. It's another book. Tell us about that. Well, two things around your pathway. A few years ago, you said you were stopping things because you were going to fulfill a dream of getting your master's in literature, master's in creative, it was some part of writing. What was it in?
It was a master's in creative writing.
Creative writing, and yes.
I loved giving gifts to ourselves. Like, that was my gift to myself and the universe's gift to me. I'm so grateful. There was an anonymous donor who made scholarships possible, and I got to go to Goddard College in the States, and I absolutely loved it. I got to collaborate with other writers and meet a whole new group of writers, and it gave me this book, Ordinary Light. I got to study with echo poet Juliana Spahr, and so she really inspired me to not just write my nature and echo poems, but to think of a book as a whole unit and how it works together. And so I basically created this book, Ordinary Light. It was written during the pandemic, which means I had a chance to slow down and really appreciate ordinary things. Mm. And so this book is a celebration of all the ordinary natural beauty we get to see every day in British Columbia. And I think everybody everywhere in the world, wherever they are, has ordinary light, ordinary beauty, ordinary people.
Now, I think we could have an extraordinary experience if you read it to us.
That's awesome. So I'm trying to think of what poem to start with. I'll do Each Step with the Earth. So this was about just getting to take walks outside during the pandemic. It starts with the camera taking me for strolls. teaching me to listen to the stories of flowers. And from my window, the clouds, a Mexican beach, journeys inner, each step with the biosphere, celebration rather than sacrifice, Easter rather than Lent. I walk and drink in my community, travel great distance on foot, learn the names of local shop owners and baristas, give thanks for beaches, foliage, and clean air most days. Bend down to see cappuccino striped snails drinking rainwater from concave orange maple leaves. Help purple starfish into the sea, allowing simplicity to heal.
Wow. Oh my God, I've got goosebumps. Allowing me to heal. Oh, that's beautiful.
I wish it wasn't a pandemic and I wish there hadn't been suffering, but one of the beautiful things that came out of it was I loved the time we had to just slow down and unplug and get back to nature and back to writing. I'll read one more that was inspired when I started my master's degree. So this is Alone and Together. The title comes from my dear friend, Maria Burns, who I just met when she asked all of us to write a monologue alone and together at the start of the pandemic. I had just started my master's in creative writing at that time over Zoom. This is Alone and Together. I open to sky, clouds and blue summer, yield to the peace of lying still. My back eases into alignment. Injuries subside. This life I wish I'd shared with you. I surrender to solitude, creation, lying in wild daisy like I did in my 20s, wishing you were with me, that we hadn't been cut apart. It's the kind of July day when mellow jazz drifts in open windows. We could almost forget there's a pandemic. Bird calls open time, mallards, geese, crows, the feathery lilt of cypress and wind. I garden, daydream, enjoy the hail of uninterrupted leisure and choice. Return to the window, commune with life. We dance dreams into place, existence a learning curve, starting and ending on gratitude. When the sky cools, I look to the sun flexion, the glass jars on the counter create on the wall, each one different, catching the light in a unique way. The black cherry jar, a mirage of diamonds, now a hummingbird angel. It's one of those days when the clouds break up into millions, an explosion of atoms into universe, and we lay orange lilies on lawns, a tribute to heroes on front lines. What to do with my perfectly restored meditative energy? Let me be longer at peace, hope like islands of grass in the sun. Oxygen released like worlds bursting forth, an explosion of color, living spirit. My breath the sails propelling me along an ocean. I forget everything else I'd wanted to say, just gratitude for real community and purpose. A culture of meaning and kindness. Just by being in the world, you've all taught me so much. We stretch like dogwood trees, realizing we've grown. Voices cycle past my window in the lightness of summer evening. Children's calls signal the freedom of not having to be anywhere, the return of time. We're all ordinary these days, and there's something beautiful in that. Our regular, unstyled hair and selves, a seed, bow, stay safe. Let the eagles carry our dreams.
Let the eagles carry our dreams. Right now, our dreams are being carried on CJSF Radio 90.1 in Bermingham. This is the college campus station of Simon Fraser University. This morning, my guest is Cynthia Sharp. She is just helping us to understand the great passion she has for nature, letting us sample and get a taste and a smell of the ways that she's integrated visions of nature, the field, children talking in the night. There are some events happening that ordinary people who have a secret love for poetry but have never expressed it because they thought somebody would criticize them. She's going to highlight again some things that are coming up so that you can, as you listen up, Saluwa, she's speaking up while you listen up and act upon what you've heard. We don't want you to just hear about these wonderful things that are happening with authors, but go and experience it and go and do what? Try your own hand and own thoughts at writing. Cynthia, tell us again about the events coming up and ways that people can get involved.
So I really hope to meet lots of Charlotte listeners at Barclay Manor. The West End Seniors Network is holding an event, especially for people 55 and older, at Barclay Manor at 1:30 p.m. on July 26th, Friday, July 26th. And that's an event where I'll be reading for about 10 minutes from my book, Ordinary Light, with author Jerina Tobiasen, who's an historical fiction author. And after our short readings, we want to open it up to a huge open mic for the rest of the day for seniors to meet other seniors, for anyone who's a writer, senior people over 50. Priority will go to people over 55, but everyone's welcome to be in the audience. So bring down, if you write poetry, fiction, memoir, anything you want to share. And if you're a reader who loves a poem or a comic book, bring that down and share it on the open mic. So July 26th at Barclay Manor, it's free. They have a beautiful garden outside, and we'll be inside with the doors open, listening to each other's poetry and words.
Now, we've talked about sharing as well across the coast. BC has got events up and down the seas, along the mountains. How much do you find traveling and visiting other parts of the province, other parts of the country? How much does that influence you or feed you as a creative person?
I love it. I love getting to meet new people. And when I went to the Sunshine Coast Writers and Editors Society Art and Words event last year, it's coming up again this August 22nd to 25th. I was reminded of all the reasons it's wonderful to get together as a creative community. I think it's so important to go and meet other artists, other people, to all be in one room together and inspire each other. I think it gives me a lot of hope. It helps us get through all the hard work of editing. We're alone when we do our editing and all, the hard work of getting books out. And when I go to these events where, they have literary agents from the Rights Factory will be there at Art and Words on the Sunshine Coast. It's reassuring to get to meet professionals in the literary world and to get to meet other creative people. And other artists, other people at all, amateur and professional, whatever camp people choose to be in, and whether they want to try and make money at it or whether they're doing it just out of love. It's so great to get to meet other artists and be inspired by each other.
I would say the pen is mightier than the sword. Writers often have an opportunity to be advocates for things or to speak up for people. Are there any causes or things that you, this is about two C's, that you've been involved with or encourage people to get involved with?
For me, the climate action is really important, and it's also very important to me that we keep hope when we're dealing with things like climate, to remember to have hope. Because I, at least for me personally, hope is tremendously important. I really believe that we have time and that we can save ourselves. And that goes, I think, for almost any issue. I really, really believe in hope, whether we're dealing with anti-racism, whether we're dealing with inclusivity for everyone, marginalized, anyone marginalized. My big issue right now, I think they're all important altogether, but this book, Ordinary Light, is about the importance of clean air. So remember those 11 days, and I think it started in 2017 when the smoke from the forest fires was coming over Vancouver, and we got to see some of the consequences of our lifestyles and climate change and accelerated forest fires and the smoke. I remember aching for ordinary light, like for that moment when an ordinary blue sky would come back. And when it did, I was so grateful for ordinary light, an ordinary blue sky, an ordinary yellow sun. And so what I'm really passionate about right now is protecting those as much as we can, however we can, and not to go off and live on an island by ourselves where we're not going to use any electricity, but to be aware, where does electricity come from? How much do we need? How can we live as simply as possible? And so my book, Ordinary Light, is about as much as I like to meet people locally, I think it's fine to take the ferries are already running. So, okay, go hop on a ferry and go meet people. But I tend to try to keep my life as simple as possible, but appreciate the extraordinary, amazing beauty that's all around us all the time and to learn that that's enough. So climate action is really important to me in a hopeful and respectful way.
Are you involved with children at all, expressing themselves through writing and getting involved, leading their voices to climate improvement or saving the climate?
Absolutely. And at Delta Literary Arts Society, there I gave a children's workshop, and I was so filled with hope from the children who took it. They amaze me. Children are so magical to me. They come from that magical, mystical place of purity and innocence. And I was just in awe of the kids who took my workshop, and obviously the parents who raised such amazing kids. But one of them, I bring in a sand dollar all the time for my sensory writing workshop. And people touch it and feel it and hold it. And one of the 10-year-old boys who took my class said, he told me a story about how the last time he saw, they were on an island in Victoria covered in sand dollars. And he said how carefully he walked, trying not to step on them. Mm-hmm. I thought, the younger generation is so wise and so aware, and more aware, I consider myself an activist for nature, but more aware than I probably was at that age.
Yeah, so. Truly, some young children are great advocates and speak up for the planet or speak up to waste. So I think that having an activity like poetry or painting for them to do gives, greater opportunities for expression and support, and to not feel like you're odd, but to feel like you're making a contribution to life, are still sustaining life here.
And I really think that we can learn from each other. I find it's very interesting. Like, I was brought in as the poet to help teach the kids, but really I go home with the kids having taught me how gently they're living, not to step on a sand dollar, not to take rocks from the beach because the rocks belong at the beach and they can remember them. They are so wise. Hmm. So many kids now are so wise and living, and like you said, and really simply in the sense that we don't have to consume everything, but with deep and meaningful appreciation for it. Oh, and one of the children in the workshop was telling me all the little bugs that live in a piece of moss. I brought in a piece of moss that had to be moved. It was on my balcony and it had to be moved anyway, but he was so sweet. He's like, it's okay that you moved this one, it's already been done. It's okay that you moved this one. But he was thinking of all the worlds inside the moss and what it would do to them if we moved it. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I had brought the piece of moss, and it did have to be moved off the balcony, so I brought it in so we could touch it. But I thought, the next generation is so in tune with how to live very gently with nature and with the natural world, and that gives me tremendous hope. And I think we can always learn from each other as people. We're just learning, right? Like, someone taught me how to compost, so now I compost, and Vancouver composts, and I love that about Vancouver. So
Right,
they're
and I
neat.
love my grandmother taught me how to make preserves. Like they preserved as tomatoes, you know, season came in. She and an auntie would get together and they would just do everything, the seasoning, whatever it took to do the canning. They knew the right temperatures, they knew the right things. And some of those things that they were showing me are still they're locked in the back of my head. You know, there was a point when I was a teen when I was making tomatoes and stuff to go to put up for the wintertime. Some of the things there's some people that have said that the young kids now listen a lot to the people that are in the baby boomer generation because they have a similar experience of so much change happening within their lifetimes. And then that they often will sit and have the patience to listen to grandpa, grandma, uncle's stories. And I have had been surprised when I've done writing exercises with children, the stories they tell, some of the stories are things I thought, well, this is from another, how are they aware of that, you know? But it is, I think you're talking about this program that's going to be happening and it's welcoming grandparents, it's welcoming older people. But for older people to feel like, yes, there are children who do want to hear their stories. Because I've been in this put down thing sometimes where people say, oh, nobody wants to hear that. That's all old people stuff. For 3 years, I worked with a podcast program for the 411 Senior Center. And we had people speak from their reservoirs of knowledge and came to have a greater respect for there is so much knowledge, there's so many stories, and to create opportunities for people to tell those stories because within it there's a formula. It might not be the exact same thing, but the principle, like not stepping on sand dollar, but also looking where you're walking when you're doing other things, because there might be something that's vital to your life that you just step on because you know you weren't watching or feeling the little sound something might have made when you squished it.
You hit on
Where
something huge, Charlotte. Like the importance, like, yeah, the importance of all the knowledge that elders hold and the elders sharing that knowledge because that's what the world needs. And that's actually
Yes.
my book is about that. It starts with my grandparents, our great grandparents, our grandparents, the knowledge we have from them. Children need it, the future needs it. And those are the two threads, I think, like elders and children. Everybody's
Yes.
important, but the knowledge that elders have, getting that to children, that is essential. So elders need to come forward with their knowledge.
And it's been my experience. I went to a second grade class and I bought a book about Rosa Parks. And the kids were so fascinated. Then my grandson said, oh, my Nana was involved in some of the marches. And they thought, you were in the marches where the people were getting hit. And they were just sitting fascinated. And every going into a school, if you go into a school with a minister's hat on, they'll say, you know, we have to have separation of state and whatever, and you can't do any prayers. But going in as a poet, I have sat with kids. The teacher is so happy somebody's there, they're gone. I've sat with my hands over my heart and the kids having their hands over their heart, just feeling, you know, feeling and having a sense of gratitude because gratitude is not a religious word. Gratitude is a state of mind and a state of feeling. And just to see kids expressing gratitude and feeling free to do that, I think writers should find themselves opportunities to visit schools. The library, something you mentioned about Vancouver Public Library that I think is wonderful for emerging writers to know. You can register a book with them. You can register a self-published book. There are some libraries that I in other places that don't take in books that are self-published books. They also have a cart. I noticed a little cart in the Vancouver Public Library, and it was a cart and it was local self-published authors where you could either check out an audio tape or you could check out a book. So I want to say hooray for the Vancouver Public Library system for making it possible for new writers to not have to go through all of that expense. If they have something that whoever the creek you know, receiving committee, if they could see it's a book, it makes sense. Whatever, they have a system where I think it just makes life very hopeful for and encouraging. And I think once somebody gets maybe a self-published book in the library system, then they're more encouraged to find a publisher or to work with a co an association. There's some associations here as well that the association publishes a book or Zine? Are you familiar with or have you worked with any people doing zines?
I love zines, and I love the Vancouver Public Library and also the Burnaby Library, and all so many libraries in BC take self-published stuff. And every library in BC, if you go on, and through Canada as a writer, if you go on their website, most of them have a form for self-published authors that you can
Yes.
fill out. And sometimes your books get in, sometimes they don't. Also, if anyone wants to read my book, it is in the Burnaby Public Library and the Vancouver Public Library and most public libraries in on the Lower Mainland. And writers get paid when our books are taken out. Whether you're self-published or traditionally published as a writer, you can apply for public lending rights. Anyone who's a writer listening, Google public lending rights in Canada. And you can apply, and for every library that your book is in, major library, you get a little bit of money once a year. So I
I
always
don't think
encourage
people
books.
know that, because it gets so many, people get so much discouragement. So I'm happy that you passed along that people get paid when people check out their books. You could tell your friends, go and
Yeah,
check out
and
my book. Maybe
it's
the
not
library,
like
there's a lot of requests, they'll buy more copies.
Like they don't, it's not like for every single time it's checked out, you get this much money, but you get, I think, about $60 a year for every major library that happens to be sampled that year, and it comes in February. And also, I like to encourage people to sign my books at the library, because as much as I love selling them, I also love the idea of sharing one resource. One book is made in the factory, and a whole lot of people can read it. So it's a little bit less, talk like a little bit more about living simply. And I think libraries give us that opportunity. I also love book sales, but I just want people to know it helps us so much when they sign our books out of libraries. And yeah, if you're a self-published author, go to the Vancouver Public Library, go to the Burnaby Public Library, and bring in your book that was released in the past 2 years and fill out the form.
I mentioned zines, and you were familiar with them. Tell people who might not have heard of it or who wonder, what is a zine?
So I've been a fan of zines. You might have to help me, Charlotte. Are they kind of self-published art with both pictures and words? Oh, I was just looking at Carte Blanche website. It's a Montreal journal, and they have a ton of zines. They have zines on their website, and they accept comics as part of their publishing. I was just sending a piece of fiction to them, and I noticed they have zines. So zines are like self-published art, and really cool, like just really cool. Like so many are on really cool, important issues right now, contemporary issues, and they're for adults usually, I think. But or they can.
I visited a library museum in Los Angeles, the African American Museum, and they had books on Kwanzaa, but they had a zine making activity for the parents and the children, and they showed how you fold. It's an art to folding the paper in a way that when you turn it, they're all you can have 16 pages, you can have a number of pages. So I thought it was such an excitement between the parents and the kids making it, and they had the supplies and the materials. So I thought that was another way that the library was serving the community, because some people make zines about particular issues around health, or zines about culture, or zines about women's issues. See, just a broad range of things that, and these kids were like kindergarten to third grade, that whose parents had heard they were going to have that activity and came, and they just had you could use different types of materials to put together. They had yarn, they had felt, they had wood, they had paper, they had magazine paper. So just really showing that you could make this little individual. It's a non-published, it doesn't have to go through the publication system, but it is a publication that people can make as an organization or as an individual.
That is amazing. I love that all ages creating together on issues that matter, and everything, their unique voices, and yeah, and just making them locally. I love things that are locally produced and small print runs, and a small print run being like maybe there's 80 copies, or maybe someone photo they they're photocopied usually and handed out to friends and peers. And then there are some literary journals that you can take pictures of it and send the pictures to a literary journal that might print it as well. And again, magazines, like, I mean, the Vancouver Public Library probably carries some stuff like that. I mean, I've seen things, and we met at Word Vancouver where we saw lots of tables covered in zines. What a cool idea.
You're listening to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We will be right back after a short break.
Yeah.
Listen Up, Act Upon. We now return to Sista C's conversation with Cynthia Sharp. Enjoy.
Well, we've heard about the value of senior centers, writers' clubs, the libraries. Is there anything that we missed in what contributes to our literary world that you'd like to mention?
I don't think so, but just one more shout out to, I hope lots of people, especially seniors, come to our event on July 26th at Barclay Manor. I'm just grateful for community and sharing and people from all different backgrounds getting together to learn from each other.
And
thank you, Charlotte, for this opportunity to get to talk with you.
Yes, I thought I was going to see if you wanted to do one other poem, and I had a poem that I might share if I can find it. yes, do you want to share another of your poems in closing out this hour? And you had, I asked you, among the people that you promote and you encourage musicians. You encourage musicians to get their work out. You've worked with a musician to put music for one of your poems or your books. Would you like to share that poem? And then we will see if we can locate it in our treasury of music at CJSF. We'll play it. If not, you can just tell us about it.
Okay. So I'll start by telling you about my friend, Nicole Schofield, who's a violinist and one of my supporters. I'm her supporter. She's my supporter. She's in quite a few local bands like the Wheat and Barley and Red Hot Strings. And I was telling her about a story I was writing about 10 years ago. I was on the phone talking to her about my story, The Magic Glasses, which is on SoundCloud. And she started singing to me over the phone. And she's like, I should record Nick's song for you. The song is called Oh Storyteller. And I'm hoping we might get to play it. You might get to hear it right here on Charlotte's show. And if not, you can look up Cynthia Christine on SoundCloud and hear Nicole Schofield and Victor Smith perform a really nice song written by our friend Nick. Another friend, it's called Oh Storyteller. And it's to go with all my poems and stories. So my last poem I'll share is a collaboration in the sense that Bowen Island artist Jilly Watson and I hit it off at an event. We were at a community event together. Oh
just
no.
Just a little louder.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Just a little louder.
Okay, just a little louder, but okay. Sorry about that. So celebrating collaboration, I was early for an event at Bowen Island and I met a wonderful artist, Jilly Watson. And I, on the spur of the moment, I handed her my book, Rainforest and Russet. And she called me up a few days later and said, I painted the whole book. They had me over for dinner. And, wow. And her husband said, maybe you could write to all her paintings. And so I did.
Wow.
So this poem, Evergreen Altar, is written to a Jilly Watson painting. And you have to look up Jilly Watson artist. She's a gorgeous painter. And my poem is called Evergreen Altar. Stay focused and strong in the saffron night. Ashes sprinkled in soft trunks of naturally fallen cedar. A realm of rose highlights, sparkling in aurora borealis. Shadows won't catch you if you beam toward radiance. No longer manipulated by misguided obligation to enter any murkiness not meant for you. Inhale the auspicious candescence infused with the scent of conifer, a candle along a pomelo path to your inner child. Stream along starlit stones in forest soil, through blood vessel rivulets to dissolution, the return to nothing, reborn in light, arteries pulsating, universe creating, destination in sight. Flow to the heart, the inner transcendence of trees, a rapt mummy in womb time bliss to eternity. One with the altar of earth.
Wow, one with the altar of earth. Oh, what a phenomenal thought. Thank you for being here phenomenally with us, one with nature, one with gratitude, one with people, one Cynthia Sharp, who I'm so grateful has taken time out of her busy schedule to be our guest. We are going to possibly hear one of the selections of a friend of ours. And before I say goodbye, I want you to again tell people how to see contact you.
Oh, what a good question. I have a website called The Zen of Poetry. So if you Google The Zen of Poetry, you can find me. That's the best way, I think. And you can find my books in any public library in Canada. If you Google Cynthia Sharp, you'll find my books. If you Google
Oh.
Cynthia Sharp poet, you'll definitely find me because there are a lot of other great Cynthia Sharps too.
Okay, well, thank you, Cynthia Sharp, the only one to be with us at this time. And thank you for the way that you just continue not to be just about yourself, but touching people's lives, inspiring, and connecting. You know, my audience, I look forward to being with you again next week at 10. But you know what I say when you ask what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time.